We are Vineyard.
Somos Viña.
We are Vineyard.
I feel like God has wanted to humanize me. Mm-hmm. Like, teach me how to be human.
Yeah.
To be me, to be comfortable being me, and to know that, you know, I'm beloved. Mm. Not because of what I do. And I don't have to, I'm not beloved because of what I do in the front of rooms.
Right.
And I don't have to fear not being beloved and being able to slip out the back rooms. Mm-hmm. I can be in the middle and just know that I'm safe, you know, and that I'm loved.
Welcome to the We Are Vineyard podcast, conversations to help us grow with Jesus and each other. On today's episode, we have the second part of the conversation between Jay Pathak and Jay Kim. Jay Kim is the author and lead pastor of Westgate, a multi-congregational church in Silicon Valley. Let's listen in.
So how do you go from youth intern to lead guy doing all this?
So I'm in Bible college. I wrap up. And
Bible college is not just with Korean Americans.
No, it's
so you're also wide open. Are you getting a broader expression?
Exactly.
So now you're like, there's like a lot of different ways people do this thing. Yeah, right. That generally happens in that
way. Yeah. So, you know, in Bible college, like in that school, like most Bible colleges, we were forced to go to chapel.
Right.
Because you have to worship the Lord for four credits totally. Quarter, totally. You know, that's like mandatory.
It's going to help. Yeah.
You have to. Totally. And, but as much as it was sort of a pain to have to go like twice a week to this chapel, it was really formative for me because it was actually first time in my life where I was regularly in a communal environment centered on Christ where everyone didn't look like me.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't have my story in some form or fashion. And it really broadened. I mean, obviously, intellectually, in my mind, I knew. It was like, oh, yeah, people of all whatever backgrounds and races and ethnicities go to church. But, you know, it was like, oh, it's like actually real. Here I am, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And again, going backwards a little bit, it was also the first time because I hadn't had it up to that point in my life where I started making really close friends at the Bible college who were not Korean American.
Yeah.
Long story short, that led me to wrapping up the bachelor's degree in biblical theology. And I was like, okay, I'm going to start applying for youth pastor jobs. I guess I'm going to do this, you know? And I only applied to majority culture churches because they were the only ones hiring. Mm-hmm. And I remember being so scared. Oh my gosh. Not only do I not know if I can be a pastor at all, now I'm going to try my first swing at this.
Jump into
this. It's going to be in a culture
world.
Just I don't know.
Totally.
And a church in town. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like, this is just like a mission trip. It's going to be a lifelong mission trip, I guess, you know? So I got hired at a church in town called Church on the Hill, Majority Culture Church. And it was such a steep learning curve, but I fell in love with it. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's really beautiful.
And the bridge from youth pastor to lead pastor is not a small bridge.
No. Yeah.
So did you have more than one? Did you have a circuitous route?
Yeah. So got hired as a youth pastor working with middle school, high school. I was alone doing, like, I was just overseeing the whole thing and building a volunteer team. They were wonderful. I wasn't married at the time, was dating Jenny, but we weren't married. So it was like, it was that season where just my volunteers were at my apartment, you know, till 2 a.m. after we just saw kids' lives change. It was like that sort of like, oh my gosh, this is so fun, you know. Yeah. Long story short, though, I spent like, you know, 5-6 years graduating all these seniors who were like, man, Jesus, you know? And then some of them would go away to college. About half of them would stay in town. They go to junior college or San Jose State. And I started doing to them what had happened to me, which was like, hey, that was a good time.
Yeah.
Just go to that big church with. And I think my assumption was like, well, it's not like the Korean church. We all speak English. It's the same thing. It's like they're just older. It's fine.
Right.
Which is so foolish. It's not fine, you know? Yeah. And it's not to say like, oh, we got to do the church within a church thing. It was more like right. I did a very poor job integrating them into the life of the church. Yeah. Yeah. I had just unintentionally built my little enclave of, totally. You know. So my solution to that was to start a college ministry. Mm-hmm. Start a college ministry. And then a really good friend of mine in town who was a youth pastor feeling the same thing, he started a college ministry the same exact time, the September of 2007, 2008, something like that. And so our college ministries are running parallel. They're both growing. We're like sharing, you know, pulpits and doing all that stuff, doing camps together. Long story short, 2012, he starts sensing a real call. Well, 2011, he starts sensing a real call to plant a church. And at the same time, I start sensing a real sort of like, oh, I think this chapter is ending. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what was next, but I just sensed my time here at church, nothing bad. Mm-hmm. And the elders and my lead pastor, they were so supportive. They're like, well, take the time you need. Yeah. Let's explore. Mm-hmm. Long story short, I ended up planting a church with this friend of mine, and both churches blessed us. They were like, hey, take the college group. And
wow.
So it was like youth ministry on steroids. And we planted a church, and, you know, 200-300 18 to 28 year olds started showing up. It was so,
there's no money. I bet
no money, no money, no like real wisdom or maturity, no nothing except just like good music.
Yeah,
a lot of juice, good music, you know, no one had click tracks. It was just like, let the spirit lead.
Go get it done. Yeah.
What is Planning Center? Just sing whatever song, but the lyrics aren't up there. Who cares?
It's gonna be fine.
You know,
yeah.
But it was like so fun,
so
crazy.
Good.
And
so good.
So, but it was also, we felt all the pain of that lack of maturity. And,
oh yeah. It'll hit you.
Oh gosh. But I'm so grateful for the lessons. Mm. So we plant that church. It goes awesome. We were co-leading. Mm-hmm. And the first 2 years were so fun in a co-leading model. And he and I are great now. But we were talking, you know, before we hit record about Drew Hyun. And he shared a story today about a season with a dear mentor of his that was hard. But so I had the same thing. He and I were like best friends in the trenches. Yeah. We had no offices. So we would office at his house.
Yeah.
So it was like a... It was like family, you know, which is beautiful and then becomes very painful when things change. Totally. So the metaphor we use is like, man, he and I had the same exact parenting philosophy when our church was born all the way until the church started, like until the church became a toddler.
Yeah.
And I remember it was like overnight almost. Mm. The church became a toddler. It was self-sustaining. We were financially viable now. It continued to grow. We had just moved to morning gatherings for the first time. So we launched with that cool, we're going to be the cool 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. and totally. Everyone's going to go home at midnight, you know, after we tear down.
Well,
and
now we're older.
And now I'm like, I'm tired. Yeah, I don't. I want to just be
people
home by
noon. Getting married.
Yeah. They
kids.
Have kids. Yeah. They can't be here till midnight,
that's
dude.
Right.
He has a baby. You know?
Yep.
So we do that whole thing and we realize our parenting philosophy for a toddler is like literally opposite.
Yeah.
So it was a painful season and I left and became a teaching pastor at the church that sent us out.
Yeah.
So I was a teaching pastor there for a couple of years and then started feeling an itch that I'd never felt before to like really shape a culture.
Yeah. Yep.
So, long story, but I ended up going to a little town called Santa Cruz, about 30 minutes south of San Jose.
I know, yeah, slugs.
Yeah, the banana slugs. And co-led a church in Santa Cruz called Vintage Faith with a dear friend of mine. And I did that for 4 years. And halfway through that time, the church where I had been a teaching pastor, their elders reached out and said, would you come back? And we want to initiate prayerfully a possible succession plan. And we took 2 years to discern that process.
Wow.
Initially, I was like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
But also, no, I don't
and
think
not
I
a
want
small
to.
Church, right?
I mean, it's a big church.
Yeah. So that's a big, I mean, it's one thing to take over a church. It's a few hundred people.
Yeah.
Right.
But this was, it's like it was a multi-congregational.
Oof.
They called it multi-site at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that's where I am now. I've been back 5 years and
wow,
just trying to figure out how to serve our people well. And I haven't figured it out.
No, just no, trying. Of course not. But so talk about that as I was, you've written some things, you've helped contribute on a bunch of different projects.
Yeah.
How do you hold the balance between being sort of locally grounded, doing other things that serve the whole body of Christ?
Yeah.
How do you discern that? How have you found your way through that? Because you're obviously articulate and gifted and people want you to do stuff. So how do you measure that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the gift of community, like the right people, has been tremendous for me. Our elders are, you know, they're that beautiful, difficult, but beautiful mix of, you know, it's kind of thematic in our conversation. It's like, man, that sermon was horrible, but, you know, it's like, you're people like Shaq, but yeah, in the seventh grade, you know, like that thing. Yes. And they kind of are that for me. Mm. So that's been really helpful in that they want to accentuate areas of strength, and they do a lot of work to make sure that the percentage of time I give to things that are natural to me far outweighs the percentage of time and energy I need to give to the things that and that exists just because of the role and the size and the scale and responsibilities.
It's big scale. Yeah, totally.
But they've minimized that quite a bit. So our elders are great. And then honestly, my wife really keeps me grounded. Jenny didn't grow up in the church at all. Mm. She became a Christian her freshman year at Rutgers University because a dorm mate had been inviting her to Campus Crusade for Christ.
Yeah, sure.
She kept saying no. Her life got really dark toward the end of the year. Mm. And then she just decided, I guess I'll just go to this.
Wow.
Encountered Christ. Mm. She thought the songs, she legitimately had such little church background. She was like, she really thought it was karaoke.
Yeah, me too.
You know,
that's
like
my story.
Really, you thought it was karaoke?
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I have used this joke. Every time I tell my testimony, I'm like, and all of a sudden there was like karaoke. I mean, I was tricked.
But for reals, you thought it was karaoke, right?
For reals.
Because that's what it looks
like.
Well,
I was told I was going to a party and it was a youth group.
Yeah, yeah.
And they start singing and I'm like, I guess they do karaoke. I've never even heard of these songs. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I have the same exact story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she has that experience, but something unlocks in her. It's like, this is weird, this karaoke thing, but
something's real here.
Something's here, totally. You know, and yes. I can't. So anyways, she has no church background. So she has veto power on all things.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's really helpful is when opportunities arise or even things at church that I'm working through, when I run them by her, she has such a grounded, this is going to sound weird, but she has such a grounded, like, normal perspective.
Totally.
Like, well,
I get that.
Why is that important, really?
Who cares? Why would you do that?
Yeah. Or why is that going to do what you think it's going to do? Because just as a person, I don't know that that would be that helpful.
Yes.
So that's immensely helpful. Mm. And then on the day-to-day sort of serving our church level, I serve alongside two, Andy and David, who are our executive pastors. And they honestly, I'm very happy to say this publicly, they actually lead our church.
That's how it works.
You know what I mean?
They should.
And they're so good at it and so much better than I am.
Yeah.
So the three of us had this Holy Spirit sort of epiphany. I went on sabbatical last year, and while on sabbatical, I had this very strong sense that I needed to reorient my entire rhythm for how I work.
Mm.
Like what days I'll be in the office and what days I won't, what things I should do. And honestly, these things, I'm hurting us. I don't think I should do them. And I was nervous about telling them because it would shift a lot for them. And what's crazy is we had dinner the night before my first official day back in the office, the three of us, and we're just catching up. And I'm like trying to muster the courage to say this to them. Like, what do you guys think about this? This is what the Lord sort of placed in me, you know, during my sabbatical. And they say, hey, we don't want to talk too much about work, but we thought it would be good to share this now so you can just process as you come back in tomorrow. While you were gone, we had this sense. And they start laying out almost verbatim what I sensed during sabbatical.
See, you are an actual charismatic.
Man, well, before we were recording yesterday, I told you I've been on this journey and you're a part of that story. No, I was like, I went from open but cautious to open and curious. And I'm scared I'm going to turn open and crazy.
Well, that's
the fear. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like if God leads you there, then that's up to him. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, yeah.
You're just led by the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, we said we might talk about this. Let's talk about this. About, because I don't know how much you know of Vineyard people, being around Vineyard people.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up in the Korean American church. We only sang Vineyard songs.
Well, see, there you go.
I sang Light the Fire Again like 4 times a Sunday. Dude. I was like, what? Are we just going to sing this song four times?
Don't let my love grow cold. I'm calling out. Yeah.
Light the fire. Oh, my gosh.
No, and that guy's still around. He was leading worship at a
thing for us. And I could sing of your love forever, which I think that's a delirious song.
It's
right?
Warren Smith.
Yeah.
But connected to
that. Was in that.
It's in the same world.
Totally. And we did. We sang of his love. It felt like forever. Honestly.
That's funny. But. Talk about, because the way you and I met, I was just in a random meeting. Let's do that. Let's wrap up there.
A couple of years ago, mutual friend of ours, he's a friend to everybody, Todd, who is with Alpha, Todd Proctor. He does this semi-regularly. Mm-hmm. He grabs together, 20, 30 pastor friends from around the country, gets them into a city. And we were here, actually, where we are now in LA. He shoves us into the basement of Vintage LA, beautiful church. And we just have 2.5 days of just processing what's the Lord doing in your church, in your city. Yep. How might we humbly, gently join him in that work? And it's really beautiful. And it was gentle. It wasn't it wasn't like on the surface a charismatic, oh my gosh, everyone's speaking in tongues. It was just like a very normal sort of quiet, calm, fun kind of gathering. And he flew you in on the second day. And you had been at all these other things. It was like, Jay's going to come. He's coming this morning from this other thing. Totally. You fly in and you've told me. You were like, Todd didn't tell me what to do or what to say.
No,
he barely told
happening.
Me anything about
just,
what this
it'll
is.
It'll be great. Just show up. Yeah.
Yeah. And you showed up and you talked about neighboring and you talked about the Holy Spirit. And it was really profound. But it was very, for me, I was processing the whole experience, taking notes. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, this is good information that I have to remember.
The pastors do. Yeah.
So that I can churn it out into something I do for work. You know, that's how I'm processing. Totally. And then you quieted us down and the band was like an acoustic guitar, a cajon or something. It's just very gentle. And you created some space for us. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I'm not emotional. I was like, this is great.
We'll pray a little bit.
I'm just going to pray. And I'm sitting in the back of the room. And I was telling you yesterday, I'm not like a see visions kind of guy. And I'm not emotional. I'm not seeking in that moment, Lord, come speak
Do
to me.
And
I'm just praying. I'm like trying to commune with God. God, I'm open. You know, I'm grateful for this space. I'm processing things you had just said. But you're kind of quietly, gently creating this space. Mm-hmm. And in that space, I have a vision. Mm. Unexpected. I'm not looking for one. You know, I'm not hungry, desperate for one. But with my eyes closed, I see as if a movie is playing in my mind. It's so clear. It's as clear as this room in my mind. Mm. And it's first person and it's me. And I can see my father's gone at this point. He's passed away. I didn't know him, but I have photos of him. I know what he looked like. In my vision, I'm looking up and it's my mother and my father, but they're much younger. And they are screaming at each other. I mean, just destroying one another. Mm. And as I'm seeing this unfold, I'm so confused and I'm trying to shake it. I'm like, this is weird. Like I had a bad burrito, whatever, but I can't, it just keeps playing. They're screaming at each other. And, gradually over time, very slowly though, but they get smaller and smaller. And I'm so confused as to what's happening.
Yeah,
and
what
then,
is this?
And then something unlocks in me. It's like, oh, this is little me. Hmm. And I don't know. I still don't know to this day. Is this a real memory or is this just a story God is telling me to unlock something? Either way, I realized this is a vision of me when I was a child in Korea, witnessing the volatility of this marriage. And it was, I hated my dad growing up. He was painted as the villain in our story. And I always saw my mother as the hero, the heroine. And I still do. She's my hero.
Sure.
But it was the first time in my life, 2 years ago when this happened, 2.5 maybe, first time in my life that I felt real compassion for my father.
Yeah. He's such a guy.
Yeah. Because as I was watching this unfold, my mother is like, he starts cowering. Mm. And I just start feeling real compassion for him. Mm. It was the first time I humanized this man.
Yeah.
And then I had this weird thought, because I'm thinking about him now. I'm thinking about my feeling of compassion toward him. And then, not an audible voice, but as very close to an audible voice. And I know it's not me because this thought wasn't in my mind. I hear, Jay, this is why you are comfortable in the front of rooms or in the back of rooms, but never in the middle. Mm. And I was so confused by that initially, but it made sense because it's true. Mm. I'm very comfortable. If you give me a microphone and all eyes are on me for a few moments, I'm comfortable as long as I've curated what I'm going to say and I feel prepared.
Yeah.
If not that, I have to be in the back. Like I have to know where the exit is, and I'd much rather be anonymous so I can slip out if I need to. To this day, it's hard for me to stand or sit in the middle of a room because I feel seen but unseen.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm there and accessible to people but also hidden.
Yeah.
And I thought about it for a long time, talked to my spiritual director and therapist and my wife. Mm. I remember coming home and just like bawling my eyes out one day. She's just holding me on our couch and processing all this. And these past couple of years as I processed, I've realized that's some of the work I think God has been wanting to do in me. Mm. And I guess it sounds very sort of hyperbolic, but it's not. I feel like God has wanted to humanize me, like teach me how to be human, to be me, to be comfortable being me, and to know that, you know, I'm beloved, not because of what I do. And I don't have to, I'm not beloved because of what I do in the front of rooms.
Right.
And I don't have to fear not being beloved and being able to slip out the back of rooms. Mm-hmm. I can be in the middle and just know that I'm safe, you know, and that I'm loved.
Wow.
And it's been such a gift even in this season of ministry, which has been like the most hectic, chaotic. We were we're wrapping up like a campaign, which no pastor gets into.
Exhausting, yeah.
But I think this campaign would have killed me 3 years ago.
Yeah, without the bandwidth, yeah.
And now I feel okay.
Wow.
You know, we're like way short on the campaign. Mm. And I think 3 years ago, I would have wanted to run and hide.
Yeah.
And now I just tell our people, it's like, yeah, he'll provide exactly what we need to do, exactly what he wants, and we'll just do that. And it doesn't mean anything about my identity or yours. Mm. We're okay.
Wow.
You know, and that's been the real gift. And you were a part of that, curating that space. And just ongoing openness to what the Spirit is up to and what the Spirit's doing in my life.
That's a great story.
It's really exciting.
That sounds like the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So thank you.
I remember that meeting because I remember thinking, I don't know what
this is
I'm doing here. Yeah. Well, and I remember walking out and calling Danielle and being like, something very profound just happened in that room. Cause there were like four or five folks I could see really engaging the Lord, and was like, and I did it like a little family system shtick in the middle of it.
Yes.
And I was like, there's something the Lord intended here. So that's
yeah,
really cool. That's yeah, a deep encouragement to you. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Well, everyone says nice things about you and your church.
Oh.
And the way you're connected in a city, like even the stories you tell of like, I have friends here and I have friends there, and then we work together to do this. That's such a rare quality for people that are leading the city. That's really, if we had 2 more hours, I'd try to figure out how that God put that in you. Because you're not just living in your own little world. I mean, even over this week, you're connected to all kinds of different people. You're helping curate conversations. It's such a unique set of gifts to be able to do whatever you want on your own, but choose to keep partnering with others. I'm really, really grateful for that.
Oh, man.
And hopefully we get to...
Thanks for saying that.
...hang out and do more stuff.
Yeah, That'd be fun. I think I've told you before, but I've long admired you from afar. So it's been a gift to be able to connect.
Yeah.
You know, every time we've been together, it's been here in LA.
I know, it's weird.
Because it was that Alpha thing, and then we had this little get-together with, you know, our Practicing the Way friends, and then now here we are back in LA.
Exactly. Who knows? So well, they keep pulling us together.
Keep the tradition going.
We could just choose to be friends without it, but that would take effort and intention.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, there's good tacos in LA, so it's a good place to meet up and hang out.
Well, I appreciate you making time. Hopefully I can bother you some more, because you have all kinds of great discipleship stuff. You've done a lot of good things. So we'll put in show notes different things you've done so people can take a peek at what you're doing. But I'm really grateful for the time.
Yeah, grateful for you.
Thanks, man.
What if the communities you're building could only be as healthy as you are? Better Together is back, and this year we're going deeper. Join Vineyard USA Associations July 21st through 23rd at North Jersey Vineyard for a transformational gathering where beloved community meets emotionally healthy leadership. Featuring Drew Hyun from Emotionally Healthy Discipleship, you'll discover how to lead from wholeness instead of woundedness and build communities where people don't just attend, they truly belong. This isn't just another conference. It's a reset for your soul and a vision for the community God's called you to lead. Early bird pricing is available through May 4th. So don't wait. Learn more and register today at bettertogether.vineyardusa.org. We'll see you there.